They've just seen the miracle of God with the parting of the water. They've seen the plagues of Egypt spare their land and ravish the rest of the country. You see, nostalgia is not always bad. Remembering God's faithfulness is healthy, but you can romanticize the past. For those that don't know me, my name's Tim. I'm on the team here at York Street. An extra warm welcome with you. As you heard earlier, we're doing a series in Exodus. And today, I wonder if there's ever been a moment in your life where the circumstances for this moment make you wish you were in the past. Like there's, you know, you just got a headache and you go, man, I wish I was, last week I didn't have a headache. Last week was good. I want to be back there. Or maybe it's a moment in a relationship, and let's get real. Sometimes marriage can be tough. And sometimes you go, oh, the single life. Remember that? Right? Maybe I want to be, but actually we forget that single life sucked. You know, marriage is aged better. Sorry to anybody that's single. But you know, like there's seasons in life because it's all pressure. Or you've got a newborn baby and it's like it's all good until you get that night where they're just screaming. And while you're holding them and it's a miracle, you're just going, before kids was so much easier. Sometimes we forget how hard it was before. Sometimes we forget and we romanticize the pain of the past because we place our current moment in a space where we go, do you know what? I wish I was back there. I wish I was back there. I wish I was back there. And we forget what back there was actually like. And we forget what God has for us now, in this moment where we are, whether you're single or not. I realize that was really unfair. I'm so sorry, the single people. There was a joke I wasn't going to say at this service because it's been live streamed, and then I come out with that one. Hi, I'm Tim. Welcome to the service. We're starting. there's a story a bunch of years ago. I for those that do know me, know that I'm a moron. and a bunch of years ago, I went bike riding. I love bike riding, and I came off spectacularly and busted up my leg really well. I got injury of the month at the emergency at the base hospital. Like, ooh. And there's an unofficial board that they put a photos up of injuries, and I got on the board. And in that space, like I broke my leg horrendously bad. And I can look back at that moment because I might be in a space where I go, man, I got a toothache. Man, I remember back then I got to spend like weeks in bed watching TV. Man, that was so good. It was chilled out. I had the best care. I had the best support. The injury was totally fixed. Surgery went well. Man, that was a good season, right? Look how many new friends I made. Like, you know, like, it was so good. Green whistle, man, that's fun. Like, and I can look back at that moment and sort of romanticize how good it was and forget, like, it was bad. It was a bad injury. Like, it was painful. When they straightened it to put it in the splint, like, ugh. Like, and I can forget in the moment of the pain of what the past held. And sometimes we do that, whether it's relationships, circumstances, pain, emotion, and we romanticize the past and forget about God is doing something now. If God is good past, present, and future, he's good now in the midst of the pain. Don't look back and romanticize the past. Look back and see God's faithfulness, yes, but don't live in the past, live in the now. If you're living in the past, today's message in Exodus is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open up scripture once again, Lord, I pray that we would see the reality of your goodness in every season of life. May we honor you as we look back with respect of your faithfulness in the past, but may we not live there. May we live in the now and see you at work in unexpected ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just for those that are guests because of the baptism or whatever today, usually I don't insult all single people in an introduction to the sermon, but also just to catch you up, we're going through the Exodus journey and we've just crossed the Red Sea. For those that know the story, there's this moment where God's people have been freed from Egypt and they're caught at the Red Sea, and the army's bearing down of them. They're just like, oh, I just want to be back. We want to be slaves. We're all going to die. And God goes, no, I've got a bigger plan. He reveals his plan by parting the Red Sea. They walk through, and the army that was bearing down on them is destroyed. God's plans are bigger than our own understanding. And no longer do they have to look over their shoulders of the captors. They are set free. And there's this beautiful picture where they're just celebrating and worshiping God because of his goodness. This is chapter 15 of Exodus. And this is the pattern we start to see, because we then get to chapter 16 and 17, which we're focusing in on today. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to chapter 16. And if you are feeling a little bit sleepy, I'll cover the entire message in just one slide for you. Then you can nod off to sleep. Now, the message is this, that firstly we see point one, they start grumbling because they're hungry. They've got some stuff with them. They've got their animals and livestock, and they've set off into the desert. It's about 2.5 months into this journey, and they're starting to run out of food. And then they start grumbling to God, God, we're so hungry. And God gives them food. Incredible. Next chapter, chapter 17. God, we're so thirsty. It's like, man, but they're not trusting God. They're just whinging. They're saying, why didn't we just not die in Egypt? And so we get to this point where God continually provides, and they continue to forget to trust in him. And in that moment, there's a reminder that we often remember the past better than it really was. We often remember the past better than it really was. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, we read this. The whole of the Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they had come out of Egypt. And in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Remember last week's about 2 million people, so the whole community is quite a community. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if we'd only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat with pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted, and you've brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. You see, they remembered the food, they forgot the slavery. They're saying, we would rather be back in Egypt where our children were being murdered. What? So they've forgotten how bad the past were. They're in this moment going, and sure, like hunger's real, pain's real, suffering's real, that the world is broken. Yes, these things happen, but don't look back and take the God out of it or the suffering. In that space, they're like, man, this is the place where they were whipped and beaten and enslaved and put to hard labor. And they're going, we want to be back there because they gave us food. What? They've just seen the miracle of God with the parting of the water. They've seen the plagues of Egypt spare their land and ravish the rest of the country. You see, nostalgia is not always bad. Remembering God's faithfulness is healthy, but you can romanticize the past. It's just kind of like, oh, there's a saying, you know, the good old days, right? And if God's good all the days, it's not just the good old days, it's the good old now, it's the good old future. God's good all the time. Don't live in the past. Don't romanticize it. You can remember God and how good he was, but we don't live in the past. We often edit our memories when circumstances become difficult. We focus on the good, but we forget the bad. And with that, you know, when we are tempted to look backwards instead of recognizing God's, what he's doing today, I wonder if there's moments where we would rather escape in our minds to what things once were. When are you tempted to look back instead of sitting in the moment and the pain and the circumstances of today, because God is still good and he wants to do good in today? I was sharing with the previous service that I spend, my week is spent really in meetings. That's what my life looks like. And meetings are good. I get to drink lots of coffee. And then when I visit people, it's generally for two things. It's a leadership meeting to do something or move a ministry or an opportunity or something forwards, and they're good. when it comes to pastoral stuff, it's very rare that someone says, hey, I just want to catch up and talk about nothing. Like, that'd be awesome. I actually did have an invite after the last service. Someone said, can we catch up and talk about nothing? And then they said, you've got nice skin. I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. That's weird. But true story. It's all good. Cool. Hey, we're talking about nothing, so it was. But generally, it's the best or worst. It's somebody's going to get married. It's great. They're having a baby. It's so great. There's those sort of catch-ups. Then it's usually the problems of the world. It's got wrestling with this. This is hard. This is tough. And we always just point people to Jesus out there. On the extreme. It's people that are, you know, you can see this as a good or bad, but we're dealing with people that are in life and death. And so it's people that are dying. And we often spend time in that space in grief and pain and suffering. And with that, I am just going to pause just in the middle of the message because I did get an announcement that there's a family doing it really tough at the moment. There's been a death in the family. And so we're just going to pause in that space and just pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, we just want to respectfully just bring before you that family within our church that's had a death because of tragic circumstances. And Lord, we just pray your peace and your comfort into that. We pray that in the midst of grief that you would be present, that you would meet them there. Lord, and while grief is a given emotion from you, we see that in Jesus when he wept. Lord, we know that you are present in all the seasons of our life. And Lord, without taking away the pain of the tragedy, Lord, we pray that you would be present in a way that shows your reality, shows your love in the midst of that pain. In Jesus' name, amen. These are the sort of prayers I get to pray. This is a very true one. It just happened just before, just as the service started. I got into the reality of life. We sit in spaces of grief. And often when I'm catching up with people who are towards the end of life, they sit on either side of a fence. One side of the fence is like, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, this sucks. I just wish I was younger back. Oh, I remember when I was young, I used to do this. Oh, it was back in the good old days. Oh, my memory isn't what it used to be. Oh, my body isn't what it is. Oh, my back. Oh, my back. And anyone's had back pain. Like, I get it. Like, it's bad, right? Like, I get it. But they live in that space of, I am old, I am broken, this is my life, this is my reality. And I wish I wasn't here. I wish I had the time before. Forgetting that the time before had its own pains and sufferings. It's like, oh, I've got to go to work every day. Oh, you know. It's like, you know, oh, this is so heavy, you know. Lift with your lower back, people. Lift with your lower back. You're like, hang on, what are you doing? You know, you've spent your whole life doing that. You've forgotten that that's when the injury happened. Oh, come on. The other side of the fence is people that are just like, you know, you often say, how you doing? And they go, yeah, well, I'm doing. And they're not saying, hey, I'm not broken, I'm not in pain. They acknowledge, yeah, I'm still going, you know, often I hear. But I say, well, you know, what are you doing with your, you know, in the retirement village? What are you doing with your life? And it's like, oh, I'm just looking for opportunities to share Jesus. You know, the good thing is no one can get out, so they're stuck here with me. You know, it's like, wow, you know, it's like, woe is me. I wish I wasn't in this space. I want to be in the past. Or, yeah, like it's, you know, I'm getting old. This is life, but what an opportunity. It's likewise, you know, when you got these kids, there's these moments where we can lose the beauty of children because there's sleepless nights. See, in the foyer, right? It's the reality. Sometimes it's tough. And in that moment when that kid is just screaming and screaming and screaming hour after hour to the point where your ears are bleeding, it's really easy to think in that moment, man, life was easy without kids. And then what are you hit with? Guilt. Oh, now I feel guilty. Oh, man. Oh, it's tough. Now I've got a screaming kid and I feel guilty. Ah. Oh. And you forget what God is doing in the moment. And in that moment, what I love about kids is there'll just be a glimpse where the crying stops. And usually it's wind induced, but there's a little smile. Yeah. Often felt by a rumble. Yeah. But you see that little smile and all of a sudden, in the moment, there's the miracle. And you go, there's God in the moment. We were living in the past because we weren't in that space. But this is the, this, see the tension? Where's God in the moment that we want to be in the past? And this is what we see happen time and time again through these passages in Scripture, because God is teaching us to trust Him one day at a time. One day at a time. I'm going to paraphrase the scriptural passage just because of time. But we see that the Israelites are looking, they're so hungry, they're looking back. They're looking back at what was in Egypt, because they had all the food to eat. It continues to go, they start whinging to Moses. And then, Moses, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? How does this work? And God says, well, I'm going to send you at nighttime, I'm going to send you quail. I'm going to send you meat. And then in the morning, on the ground is going to be this bread-like substance, this wafer called manna. And if we pick up in Exodus 16, verse 17, it's the last Bible slide of that passage, thank you. The Israelites did as they were told. Moses said, go and grab as much as you need. Some gathered much, some little, and they measured it by the omer. And the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept some of it till morning, and it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry at them. Each morning they gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. You see, God provided manna daily, not annually. It was a daily thing that God provided because God wanted them to be dependent on Him daily. That's not like you turn up to church once at Christmas time and go, yeah, now I'm good. And some people do this. Oh, yeah, if I just go, that'll tide me over. It's like God's, no, it's a daily thing. God wants us to be dependent on Him daily with obedience. You know, God gives enough for today before He gives enough for tomorrow. The wilderness actually became God's classroom for trust. You know, freedom was never just about leaving Egypt. It's about learning dependence on God. And we often want certainty, but what God requires is faithfulness. I wonder what it would look like for us to trust God for today's provision rather than demanding answers for the whole journey. You know, we just learned last week that God's plan was so much greater. They were stuck on one side of the Red Sea thinking, we're all going to die. But God said, nah, I've got a plan on the other side of the Red Sea. Getting there is one miracle, but the reason means that you will totally be set free, far beyond your understanding. The army that is chasing you is going to be wiped out. That was God's plan all along, not just to partly set us free, but fully set us free. And He shows that. Yet Israel continues to look back. Do you ever read this book and go, seriously? The Israelites are idiots. You know, God does good stuff and then they're really good and then they do the bad stuff and you go, oh, you guys are morons. What are you doing? I used to think that until I looked at myself and realized I'm just the same, right? We lean into God, God's goodness, then we forget. We try to do it on our own strength. And you go, oh, this book is so relevant when we read it over our life, see ourselves as the mirror of what it reflects in our own character. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you've trusted God and He's been so faithful that He's just shown it back. I wrote this message before I heard this story, and then this happened just recently, and that was that someone in the church had made a funds transfer in their bank accounts of about $500. So it's a big chunk of money, and they've moved it to a different account, and it's just gone, just as banks do, right? And it's just missing, and they're like, "What do we do?" And they're like, "Oh," and they're trying to chase the banks. And anyway, this moment where they prayed about it, and guess what showed up? Wow, how cool is that? I remember a moment where, and God doesn't always just give back financially, and I want to be really clear, this is not a, you know, you pray to God, He'll give you money, or you give to God, He'll give you back. You know, He gave us everything on the cross, so it's the price is paid, it's done. But God often honours, you've got to have eyes to see it, it's the next point after this, God in different ways. But I remember Yvette and I we were at uni students, and we were super poor, right? We were uni students, we had no money, we got married early. Like, date night, the ultimate was the brand name, 2 Minute Noodles. It was like, you know, it's like, yeah, nothing spared. It was the lovely, good days. And I remember our offering for the fortnight, I think we got about $250 a week. That was our combined income. And so for the fortnight, $500 a fortnight, $50 was our tithe. We gave it to God first. And we were sitting that side, sort of where you are, B, so around over there. We're sitting literally around there, and this is our conversation. The offering thing's going around, and we're like, how much fuel's in your car? Yeah, I got a quarter of a tank. Oh, yeah, cool, me too. Have we got milk? Yep, cool. This is honest conversation, like very honouring God, reverent, right? Not really. It's just like, do we have enough to make it through the week? And the offering came part, like, yep, put $50 in, because that's what we had to do. That's, we gave it to God, and that's it. We literally had no money. The petrol in the cars is what we had in the cars. The food in the pantry is what we had in the pantry. That was it. Just the no-name 2 Minute Noodles. And no joke, the next day on the Monday, the post arrived. And at some point, I'd spoken at another church as, you know, just helping them out, going preaching, and that was all cool. And as a result, they'd sent in the mail a check for $50. And I remember, like, what? Like, and what I love about those stories isn't that God gave back. It's that God's faithfulness was faithful far before ours was. Like, someone had written the check and put it in the post office and snail mail, and it actually made it to us. And, you know, like, all that, like, it's incredible, right? Now, I say that with the disclaimer, don't just give to God expecting to give back. Once again, he gave it to us all on the cross. But often when you are faithful, he will be faithful back. But it's a day at a time, and that's tough. God's provision doesn't always look like how we expect it to look. God's provision doesn't always look the way that we expect it. There's this is an old joke, but a good one. There's this guy who's he's up in Queensland, and there's the floodwaters are common, and the flood comes, and he's like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, I'll pray to God. God, help save my house. And the waters get higher and higher, and all of a sudden, yeah, the house is not being saved. Like, it's bad. He goes, actually, God, help me. Save me. Save me. And he's up on the roof of the house going, God, you've got to save me, otherwise I'm going to die. God, save me. Save me. And a neighbor comes back in a little dinghy. And this neighbor's going past, and the neighbor's like, jump in, it'll be all good. He goes, nah, I'm okay. God's going to save me. The neighbor's like, what? Okay. And the next thing, he's like, God, save me. Save me. And a rescue boat comes. And they go, jump in. He goes, no, I'm okay. God's going to save me. And they're like, you're nuts. And they drive off. Next thing, a helicopter comes and drops down the little thing. It goes, put this around you. We'll take you out of here. He goes, no, I'm all good. God's going to save me. They're like, what? Anyway, he drowns. And he's in heaven. He goes, God, why didn't you save me? And God goes, what do you want? I sent you a dinghy, a rescue boat, and a helicopter. And you didn't take any of them. Like, sometimes we get so fixated on how God's going to help us that we don't have eyes to see the way that he's already provided for us. He can provide through others, through the word, through wise counsel, through prayer, through miraculous things, but it can sometimes just be the simple things. The sound of rain outside, the sun on your face. God can talk through whatever he wants. But sometimes we miss it because we're looking for different things. This passage goes on in chapter 17, because now God's people are like, God, you've got to give us water. They're still getting manna every day. And they're like, God, we're all going to die. Our kids are going to die. Exodus 17. Why did you bring us out here to die of thirst? Verse 5, the Lord answers Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders, and take with you in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go on, I will stand before you at the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? And this is a picture of the rock at Horeb. There's a little bit of scholarly debate about, is it on the right side of the mountain? Is it east or west? And like a lot of scholars, there's usually a little bit of debate. So we're not going to say one way or another. We're just going to say, hey, it looks like this is the one. The beauty of this this real physical rock in that location is that the mountainside from it is water eroded in the middle of a desert. So it's pretty cool. That's enough for me. But there is some debate. But in this space, you see that the people want water, and God sort of sends them up a mountain. Like, where's the water? Not up, it's down. Water's at the valley. Water's at the bottom, not at the top. And people expected that water would be, why are the leaders going up the mountain? And when they want water, God uses rock. Like, come on, yeah, rock on. God is good, and in different ways he shows himself to be good and faithful in the midst of the hard stuff. God's provision often arrives differently to what we imagine. The Israelites' problem wasn't thirst. It was that they forgot God's character. See, every part, every miracle points people to God's character, his love. And I wonder if we're looking for God's provision in us in one specific way for the thing that we're going through at the moment. Or are we missing what he's already doing? You see, the wilderness is where God forms his people. The wilderness isn't punishment, it's preparation. And sometimes our wilderness, the season that God has us in, it's tough. Like, it is tough, but God is preparing us for something else. He's preparing us for what is next. You see, Egypt changed the Israelites' location, but it was the wilderness that changed their hearts. The wilderness exposes what was inside them and gave them an opportunity for God to change it. And I wonder what God might be forming in us as individuals and as a church for this season. What's God showing? Are we looking to the past, or are we able to be present in the now with what's God doing in and through us? See, in the book of Exodus chapter 16 and 17 show us this. We need to remember God's faithfulness. He was faithful in the past, he'll be faithful in the present. We need to trust his provision. Not the way that we picture it, but the way that he wants to provide for us. We need to take the next step, trusting that God's with us. And we do this one day at a time. He doesn't always give us the big picture. But there's moments when we do look back on one side of the Red Sea, and one side of the journey, or one side of whatever you're going through, and you look back and you go, right, I can see God's hand. God's master plan was so much bigger than what I would have done, the shortcut I would have taken. But through this, I can see God's master plan fulfilled for us. Just as God gave daily manna, he still gives grace daily. The question is not whether God will provide. The question is whether we will trust him enough to pick up today's manna. Will you pick up what God has given you today? The relationships, the emotional resilience, the word, the resources, and trust him that it's enough. Will you step forwards today in faith, knowing that he's got a plan for you? As I prepared this message, and this is quite irregular for me, like God will give me stuff in the moment, and if it's in the moment, there's usually a little internal wrestle, like, is this for me? Is this for the church? Do I do this now or not? And that's usually what's happening in my head and my spirit when that happens. But this was early in the week, and God laid it on my heart that there's people at the church here at York Street that are just hanging on to the past and have romanticized some things of the past to say, hey, that was so good, but I've forgotten the hardship. I've heard stories about when this auditorium was built and how hard it was. And often when I talk about the auditorium, people go, yeah, it's great, it's so good. But they forget how hard it was. They romanticize. It was hard work. It was hard yakka. They built it with their own hands. They built it with their own finances. People took time off work and it was hard financially. They romanticize that. God was in it 100%. He was there, but he's here now. There's seasons of ministry and of relationships in the past that people can hang on to and romanticize and forget how hard
life always is. It's always hard. There's always hard bits in it. But in doing that, we forget what God is doing now, what God is doing today. The goodness of God that is good there yesterday is good today, is good tomorrow. And if he's good today, if he's good yesterday, then where is he today? Just because there's hard things doesn't mean God isn't active. And if you're stuck in that, I want to encourage you to get some prayer this morning. Get some prayer for those things. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you love us so much and so deeply. We thank you for this passage of Scripture written all those years ago that is still relevant today as we use it as a mirror over our life, and we see that we still do the same things that the Israelites were doing, in that we try and take control, we doubt your existence when things get tough, we look back to the things that you saved us from and romanticize them, forgetting how bad they were. And Lord, in that, would you set us free from that? May we look back with worship and honor of you, remembering your goodness. But in that, may we also be able to look forward to what you have for us, but see you present in the moment as well. May we have the courage to take the steps of faith for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's service. And if you are looking for any resources to continue to connect in, you can find them on the links below or on our website. We'd love to see you in the building sometime at one of our future services. And remember, no matter what happens this week, keep coming back.